It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. We've had wind and snow and rain and cold rain and a little snow and then melting snow and then wind some more. So it's spring. We know that now. Even if it's a little chilly, we know that because you sit drinking your cup of coffee in the morning and a ladybug walks past. She's looking for warmth, but not too much warmth. And you say to this ladybug, 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 fly away home. Your house is on fire. Your children are gone, all except little Nan, who's sitting in the frying pan, tying her laces as fast as she can. This poem you remember from school, from childhood. You've forgotten everything else. You forgot algebra, and you forgot history. The Gadsden Purchase is lost to you. The Smoot-Hawley Tariff is gone, gone, gone. But you still remember that little poem about the ladybug and this strange species of insect that is only one gender and no male ladybugs. I mean, that would not make sense. So it's spring and you go for a walk. There's trash all around after the snow melts and you look around and you'll see it. There's beer bottles over here and whiskey bottles. Whose are those? You see a tube of lipstick, of shameless crimson lipstick and pink hair rollers in a plastic bag and a red silk scarf with Chinese letters on it. And then you find this paperback and you open it to the first page and it says, billows of steam filled the sauna when she poured the bucket of water on it. He could feel the steam on his back as the water hit the hot rocks, and he was enveloped in flesh as she seized him with her ample arms, and the great vast front of her pressed against his back. She was his neighbor's wife. They had just met. It was family night at the YMCA. And for the life of him, he could not remember her first or last name. Darlene, the waitress from the Chatterbox Cafe, found this paperback, had no idea who that would have belonged to. She was out walking on Easter morning, which she's been doing lately, trying to lose some of the weight that she picked up over the winter. And she looked at her long shadow that was extending out. As she walked along the shore, it was extending out onto what was left of the lake ice, her long shadow out into the mist, and out there at the end of her shadow, over her shadow head, was a small rainbow, this small perfect arc. It was this gorgeous spiritual moment that seemed to say to her, you are who you need to be. You are where you belong. It was a beautiful moment. And the moment she had that moment, she thought to herself, who am I going to tell about this? Nobody. Nobody in this town. If I were in California, I could tell somebody and they would say, you know, the exact same thing happened to me. People in California would understand this, but this is a town of auto mechanics, not romantics. So there's nobody to tell about this epiphany. No, it touched her that this magical wave had put its blessing on her, and there was nobody she could tell about it, lest she be thought strange. The lawns are greening, and the herons are returning. The tree swallows have returned, and a bluebird has been seen, maybe two, we can't be sure. And the garter snakes are coming back, and a whole flock of tundra swans flew in the week before Easter, hundreds of them. They landed on the lake to rest for a while. And they would have continued their journey heading back up north, but Carl Krebsbach was expecting them. And he rowed out in his canoe through open water, and he fed them bread with grape jelly on it. This is the third year that he has done that. It was 3 years ago that he was out on the lake. He was bird watching. It's his way of getting away from the computer and the telephone and texting and all of that, to get out in a boat. And he was bird watching, and he had accidentally taken Margie's lunch instead of his own, and she had grape jelly sandwiches in it, which he hates. And he opened them up, and he was disgusted, and he threw these sandwiches out in the water, and immediately 100 enormous white swans landed all around him. It was like the second coming. It was like, it was this magical spiritual moment. They all descended. He discovered that tundra swans, who knows why, love the taste of grapes. So he took pictures of them on the lake, and those pictures were printed in the Sunday rotogravure section of the Minneapolis paper. And the next year, before Easter, tourists came. Dozens of tourists came. And the year after that, even more came. And by then, we were prepared for them. And the Chatterbox Cafe had a special swan luncheon on. Everything was white in the luncheon. And the Sidetrack Tap had stocked some single malt scotch. And the Night Arrest Motel, run by Art, the old Norwegian, hates strangers. It was booked completely up for the whole week. He's got these warning signs all around. Art, don't drive on the grass. How many times do I need to tell you? No cleaning of fish on the picnic tables. It attracts bees. Where were you brought up? This sort of thing, you know. And the first sign you see is right there on the front door. Ring the doorbell once. Don't ring and ring and ring and ring. If I don't answer the first time, it means I am busy. You keep ringing and you will be sorry, and I don't mean maybe. A word to the wise. It was full of tourists that came to see these swans. And this year they've come again. And so the churches were packed for Easter, Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility. The pews, it looked like there was a pew-stuffing contest going on. All these tourists were there, and the old men who always sit in those last three pews on that side, even with strangers filling them, those old men sat there anyway, because they always have, and they need to sit there because they need to slip out and have a cigarette. So, the Lutheran Church was full too, and so they had three services there at the Lutheran Church. They had three of them: Sunday morning, 8 a.m., 9:30, and 11 a.m. There was no sunrise service with the egg bake. They gave that up this year because it's just too much work. Women getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to make coffee and to break eggs and to make this egg dish, which is not all that good anyway. And they've gone along with it for years and years, and nobody dared to say, let's not do this anymore. You know, they didn't want to be the first one. And then last year, Viola Torres came back from Florida, Palm Beach, where she had been to Palm Sunday, where her daughter goes to church. This is a clothing optional Lutheran church in Palm Beach. And the pastor comes out at the beginning, and he's naked, and he says, naked come I before the Lord, and also before my brethren. The Lord seeth us as we are, and so let us be as little children and welcome him to Jerusalem. And they all stood up naked, and Viola naked in church. Never in her life had she imagined this. She had the palm fronds, and at first she tried to cover herself with the palm fronds as they marched around the church. And finally, she was caught up in it, and she was waving the palm fronds back and forth as they sang the hymn, here I am, O Lord, no a child of grace, no longer through a glass, but now I see you face to face. Waving the palm leaves overhead, she came back from this spiritual moment, unable to tell anybody in town that she'd gone naked in a Lutheran church, but she felt changed in some way. And she came back and she said, let's not do the egg bake this year. Nobody enjoys it, and it's way too much work. And nobody disagreed with her. The hard part is not to get the agreement. The hard part is who will make the motion. Who will be the first one to suggest? That's the problem in Lake Wobegon. So she woke up Easter morning. She had some Bailey's Irish cream, and she got herself into a beautiful mood, and she fell asleep, and she forgot to take the caramel rolls out of the oven, and she was awakened by the volunteer fire department coming to her door, pounding on the door, and they came in, and they put out this fire. She was completely unperturbed by this. That's what going naked Palm Sunday will do for you. Nothing else will trouble you. All these little things. She went off to the early service in the Lutheran church in her raincoat, and she sat there in the third pew. She sat there in the third pew. Several women looked at her, and they thought to themselves, she doesn't have anything on. They could tell by the look of beatitude. She was naked underneath. They weren't sure what she might do. Pastor Liz preached on the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, and she finds the stone has been rolled away, and the Lord is gone, and she's perturbed. And this man appears to her, and she does not recognize him until he says, Mary. And she says, teacher. And she has met the Lord. And she runs off to the disciples, and she tells them that she has met the Lord. He is there. They can't believe it, and yet they do believe it. The ability to believe what you cannot believe, the message of Easter. Pastor Liz gave this sermon on Easter Sunday, and as she looked out into the congregation, she could see reflections of the candles in the glasses of people sitting there, even the ones who were asleep. There were little flames flickering in their eyes. The Holy Spirit was there in their brains, even if they were asleep. It was a spiritual moment, and she didn't know how to get that into her sermon whatsoever. And she was inspired to say more, but she looked at the clock, and she saw that it was that time, and she could smell ham baking all over town. And she looked down at Viola Torres there in the third pew, and Viola Torres was starting to unbutton her raincoat. She had unbuttoned two buttons, and then we thought it was time for the hymn. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above that.